Welcome to the SOAP Bible Study Series from Oak Tree Community Church in South Bend, Indiana. We're in the book of John, just barely. Just barely in the gospel.
We're all the way in it.
Well, okay. We started it last time, though, so we're about 10% of the way through, because it's actually not a long book. There are only 21 chapters. We did two of them last week, so
Yeah, right. So last week we saw that John wrote his gospel much later than Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And John's gospel, he says, is to present Jesus to the world as the eternal Son of God and to lead people to believe in him for salvation.
Yeah.
And we talked about how we're going to do our best to point out evangelistic statements in here.
Well, we have a couple this week.
Yeah, I'm sure I'll get one in there. And last week we left Jesus when he was in Jerusalem, and that's where we start off in chapter 3. And it starts off with Jesus talking to a Pharisee by the name of Nicodemus. He was a member of the Jewish ruling council, and he came to talk to Jesus at night. Mm-hmm. And the word at night seems to trip a lot of people. I mean, there's a lot of discussion about it. Some think Nicodemus, you know, it was at night under the cover of darkness. He came in and he talked to Jesus. Others think that John talks about light and dark a number of times. We saw it last week even, where it was portraying Nicodemus and the Pharisees as darkness and Jesus as light. Or it was just Jesus was in Jerusalem for Passover. There's a lot of duties that the Pharisees have to do, like, quote, during the day.
Yeah.
They extend it into the night, too. It could be something that simple.
So that's my opinion. I mean, we're going to find out that Nicodemus was, Jesus called him the teacher of Israel, right? They've already sent people to find out what John was teaching.
Right.
Now Jesus is teaching. They want to find out what Jesus is teaching. So it makes sense that he would come end of day, after hours, and maybe there is a cover of darkness. They don't want to give Jesus any credibility or credence.
Right. You know, like in the middle of the day, the head guy comes.
Yeah, hey, yeah. Jesus is sitting down at, you know, at the coffee shop with Nicodemus. Like, okay, well, let's not give him
any gather a crowd.
Right. Let's find out who this guy is and what he's teaching. True. So there may be a little bit of all of the above, right? Sort of in there.
Yeah. So like you said, Nicodemus' job is going to be to figure out if Jesus is teaching the correct things from a Jewish point of view.
Yeah.
And a lot of times they call it the teacher's yoke in the Gospels, mm-hmm, and other places. And Jesus says, you know, my yoke is light. But it's really, what is his requirements of his disciples under his teaching to do?
Every rabbi had their own list of rules and regulations. Right. And so, so he comes and, you know, rabbi, what is it that you're doing and teaching here? Yeah. But he makes a really important statement that sets up something later on. So how does he introduce himself?
Well, he starts off very complimentary.
Yeah.
He calls Jesus rabbi and teacher, like you said. And he says, we know that you come from God, and he acknowledges that Jesus has performed miraculous signs.
Yeah,
John talked about last week.
Yeah, no one questioned that Jesus was doing miracles. And right. The Pharisees at this point, when Nicodemus says, we know, he's talking about the Pharisees, we know that you are from
he's
God.
He's coming as part of, he was sent to represent the Pharisees to
official
test somebody.
Capacity, yeah. Right? Right? Yeah. So what makes that really interesting is that they already knew that. They had no question about that. So when they began to reject Jesus and they said, well, you know, he's doing miracles by the power of Satan or Beelzebub or whatever. Right. It's like, oh, hold on a second, because you've already said, we know you're from God and you're doing the power. This is the power of God. So what they were doing was blaspheming or slandering the Holy Spirit. When they said, no, that's the power of Satan. You've already said it's the power of God.
Right. Jesus gets right down to business and says, unless a person is born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
Again, another evangelistic verse.
Now, this is where, let me interrupt here. This is where, born from above, most translations, I mean, somebody's ears are going to be like, hold on, that doesn't sound right.
Right.
Yeah. Most translations are going to say, unless someone is born again. right? Last week we were talking about Baptists and Anabaptists and whatever. Right. So the born from above or born again, the Greek word has the prefix ana on it, A-N-A. That can mean, in some contexts, from above, that can mean again. That's why the Anabaptists right. were called, because they required people to be baptized again. So this is not a bad translation. And in fact, I think what Jesus is doing is a wordplay here, because Nicodemus heard again, and Jesus was saying from above, and it's the exact same word in Greek.
Nice.
And so I think there's a wordplay going on here because Nicodemus is not in the right mindset yet. Yeah.
Well, and he missed it from the standpoint of, I need to be born again from a mother, you know, thinking that this was a physical thing that needed to happen too.
Well, but even a spiritual thing in Judaism, there were these like levels that you could go through, and they called them born again. There were like 8 different ways to be born again in the Jewish faith. Not unlike what Roman Catholicism does with different sacraments, right?
Right.
It's some similar, not exactly the same, but some similarities. Well, Nicodemus at his level would have gone through all of them.
Yeah.
And so for literally for him to go through any more born agains, he's like,
yeah.
So I have to start over?
Like, right. Yeah. My degrees don't count?
It's like literally the only way for me to get another born again level would be to go back to the womb, be born physically, and then start the process over again. He's like, there's no way you're talking about that. So what are you talking about?
Yeah. So then Jesus clarifies it and says, unless one is born of the water and the spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
And Nicodemus, how can that be? Jesus, again, is talking about a spiritual birth.
Yeah.
And then he questions Nicodemus, you're a Jewish leader. How do you not know this?
Which means that all of that information should be able to be found in the Old Testament.
Right.
Right? Which it is. And so, like today, you and I would talk about eternal salvation and going to heaven and, you know, whatever. Jesus hasn't died on the cross yet. So when he says into the kingdom of God, he literally is talking about the kingdom, the coming kingdom and Messiah, and he'll use the phrase Son of Man, which is a messianic title.
Right.
All of that stuff is perfectly legitimate for that historical context. Now, we'll use it as an evangelistic message today. You need to believe in Jesus. You need to be born again to be saved. It's not exactly how he was using it, but there's some similarity there. Yeah.
Yeah, and like you said, he talks then about the Son of Man, and he says, the Son of Man descended from heaven and will be lifted up so that whoever believes in him will have eternal life. So
there's another one of our.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah. Son of Man also shows up in Daniel.
Yeah.
Right? And Nicodemus obviously would have known this.
Yeah.
But here's what Daniel says in chapter 7, starting in verse 13. I was watching in the night visions, and with the clouds of the sky, one like a son of man was approaching. He went up to the Ancient of Days, God.
The Father.
Yeah, Father. And was escorted before him. To him, so that, again, this is who we're saying is Jesus or the Son of Man here. To him was given ruling authority, honor, and sovereignty. All peoples, nations, and language groups were serving him. His authority is eternal, and it will not pass away. His kingdom will not be destroyed.
Yeah, so the Son of Man is the coming ruler. It's always linked to Messiah and Messiah's kingdom. That Son of Man phrase with Jesus here. So when Jesus called himself the Son of Man, Nicodemus heard Messiah.
Right.
And Messianic Kingdom, which is the kingdom of God here in chapter 3.
Right.
Yeah.
Also in the middle of this discussion, John 3:16 comes up, which is probably the most used evangelist verse, at least a couple of years ago in football stadiums, anytime anybody was kicking a field goal, there was somebody in the back holding up John 3:16.
Yeah.
And again, the net is a little different than I learned it.
Yeah.
For this is the way God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life.
Yeah.
Again, another evangelistic verse.
Most people remember it or know it as, for God so loved the world. The right. So is not about quantity. It's not God loved the world so much. But this is, I mean, that's why the NET translates it this way. For God so loved the world. This God loved the world in this way.
Right.
Right. It fits Romans chapter 5, verse 8. God demonstrated his own love for us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. So it's not how much did God love the world, but how did God love the world? God loved the world by sending his son to die for the world.
So Jesus and his disciples were in Judah territory. They were baptizing. It's interesting that it says the disciples were doing the baptism, not Jesus.
Jesus did not baptize people with water, which is interesting because John the Baptist said, I'm baptizing with water. He'll baptize with
the Holy Spirit
and fire. He's as a judgment later, right? Apparently Jesus didn't baptize anyone with water.
Yeah.
You know, so there's, John was right on that.
Yeah. So John the Baptist and his disciples were also in the same area. Some of the disciples were jealous of Jesus. Everybody is flocking to him. You're losing people.
Yeah.
Oh, what are we going to do? All that. And John the Baptist says, I told you, I am not the Christ.
Yep.
That I've been set before him. This is important. He needs to become more important and I need to become less.
Yeah. Like, guys, it's working.
Yeah.
Like exactly what's supposed to be happening.
Yeah. And then I see in verse 36 of chapter 3, John says, the one who believes in the Son has eternal life. Another verse to tick off there or check off there.
Yep.
All right, into chapter 4. So Jesus knew the Pharisees were showing interest in him. So he left Judah and he went back up to Galilee.
And so up north. Showing interest in the wrong way.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, because they're starting to say, hold on a second, this is not...
He's getting too big.
Yeah, so he knows, just like he told Mary last week, my hour is not yet come. Okay, so he's not going to cause trouble. He's just going to disappear from the area.
He's going to physically get out of the way of Jerusalem.
Yep.
They can send people up there. They will send people up there, but certainly a lot less pressure.
Yeah.
So Jesus basically is going back home, and he chooses to go through an area called Samaria versus going around.
Yeah.
He could go around, but he chose to. So the national Jews, would you say disliked, hated? The Samaritans.
Yeah.
First, this whole group of people, I'm going to call them the leftovers from the Northern Kingdom.
Yeah.
So when the kingdom split after there were kings, there was a civil war. We have a Northern Kingdom and a Southern Kingdom. The Northern Kingdom really didn't follow any of the rules to begin with. Then later they were, God gave them many chances. They blew them all. And finally Assyria came in and wiped them out, took the majority of them that they didn't wipe out as hostages and as slaves.
Yeah.
But they did leave some people left.
Yeah.
These are the... I was going to call them the remnant, but that's a different group of people.
Right.
These leftovers, were there.
They were not worth anything to the Assyrians at that point. So they were lowest of the classes, maybe the older, the frail ones, they weren't worth taking to Assyria.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it.
Right.
And then secondly, Assyria planted their people in the land because... this land was now didn't have people on it.
Yeah, take care of the land.
Right. So this is the leftover of those two groups intermarrying.
They would intermarry and everything. So they were no longer full-blooded Jewish people.
Right.
Right. So they have some Assyrian blood. So this area today we call this area in modern terms we would call this area the West Bank. Okay. So it's the western bank, the western side of the Jordan River. They would call it Samaria, right? And their presence always reminded the Jews of the split kingdom and the Assyrian exile, right? The
Both fact of which that were
they,
terrible things.
They were bad things, right? They were always there. But they also worshipped a little bit differently, okay? Right. They did not accept any of the Old Testament, or we'll call the Hebrew Scriptures. They didn't accept any of the Old Testament except for the books of Moses, the Pentateuch,
five.
Right? Yep. Yeah, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. They did not go into Jerusalem to worship. They worshiped, right. And she yeah, will she refer to, it, yeah. We worship on this mountain, you worship in Jerusalem. There's, a, but they were still looking for Messiah. They were still, right. They still knew everything that the rest of the Jews knew, but there were some differences there, and the Jews didn't like it. Right. They were constantly in their face, constantly reminders. And so you mentioned traveling around. Yeah, they would go around the outside. They would not even go into that area, even though it was all part of Israel. They wouldn't right. go into that area.
Right. So Jesus starts talking to a Samaritan woman, which is wrong on a couple cases, or not wrong, but, yeah. But odd on a couple cases. One being able, being talking to somebody there, and then also a woman.
A woman, yeah. I like the fact in verse 4 it says that he had to pass through Samaria. He didn't have to pass through Samaria logistically.
Yeah.
But he had a mission. Yeah. He was on mission, and right. in order to accomplish what he needed to accomplish, he had to go through Samaria. So he was, I mean, he was targeting this woman, basically, right. at this point.
Well, and he asked for a drink of water, and oddly enough, not oddly enough, right, they were at Jacob's
they
well.
They were at the well, yeah.
So this is, turns out, an ancestor of Jesus.
And her.
Yeah, and her, right. Yeah,
because they're still...
Yeah, right.
You know...
that had dug the well, and the conversation led to living water. Mm-hmm. And the woman asked Jesus for living water, so she wouldn't have to draw water out of the well anymore.
You yeah, know,
that was probably half her day, right?
Yeah,
getting water out because she'd be responsible for getting it for the animals.
Well, too. In that again, contextually, living water is it means flowing water like a river. Okay, so. She's like, where is this river that you're talking about? Where's yeah. this living water that I, you know, that'll, I can just, you know,
right.
I don't have to come to the well. It can just come to me, right? The living water comes to me. I have to come to right. the well. So,
right. And she's also thinking physically, right? The physical water versus spiritually.
Like that, Nicodemus that was, right? Yeah, so exactly. That's the key. That's sort of the theme of our reading this week is yeah. thinking earthly instead of thinking heavenly, or thinking physical instead of thinking spiritual.
Yeah. So interestingly enough, Jesus takes a different track with her, knowing that probably this, well, he's not going to talk to her again.
Right.
But he tells her what her life has been like, how many marriages she's had. And she, funny enough, says, oh, you're a prophet.
You must be a prophet. Yeah. Well,
yeah, which is kind of funny.
So he didn't do a miracle for her. I mean, so if you think of if right. you think of, you know, knowing her life, you know, as yeah. a miracle, but yeah, yeah, he didn't do a miracle. There was no miraculous sign as much as because she didn't need it. She needed a prophet. She needed someone right. who could speak credibly. She didn't need a miracle, and so he didn't do a miracle.
Right, and then like then she said, "Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, as you were talking about, but your people require worship in Jerusalem," which makes a lot of sense. Jesus was literally in Jerusalem because of Passover,
right?
You know, which is a required place to be.
And the Samaritans would have known it was that time yeah. of year, and they knew right. that the people were down yeah. there, right?
Passing through all these yeah. vagrants passing through.
Well, most of them wouldn't have passed through, though, right? Because they yeah. were avoiding them.
Yeah. And then Jesus says, a time is coming, and it's here, where true worshipers will worship Father in spirit and truth.
Yeah.
And the woman says, I know the Messiah is coming, right? So she immediately recognizes what's going to happen. And Jesus says, I am he. I mean, we're in chapter 4,
yeah. right?
And he's declaring himself Messiah.
Which is interesting because he did already declare that in chapter 3, but he used the term Son of Man because right. that's what Nicodemus needed to hear.
Right.
She yeah. wasn't looking for that because that's right. in the book of Daniel, not in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy.
Right.
So she needed to hear Messiah. Nicodemus needed to hear Son of Man. Nice. Jesus knew his audience.
Right.
And
there's always more you can get.
Yeah. It wasn't that he was changing the message. He was yeah. just changing how he delivered the message based on what they needed to hear, based on the understanding that they had right. at the time.
Right. So more evangelistic verses.
Yeah.
So the woman returns to her people and relays the conversation to them along with, surely he can't be the Messiah. Can he?
Yeah. Well, she had to ask because, number one, she, you know, didn't have the best, you know, reputation necessarily in the area. Right. And as a woman, she wasn't going to be teaching them. So she had to get it across. So she knew her audience too.
Right.
She had to.
Yeah. Like, to I'm positive this guy is, but
the information
you need to go figure out for yourself.
Yep.
Yeah.
He couldn't be the Messiah, could he? Well, we'll make the decision about that.
Right. So meanwhile, Jesus is talking to his disciples and he says the fields are already white for the harvest. So he is already thinking from an evangelistic point of view.
Yep.
This group of people is right to to understand, you know, how to get salvation.
They're seeking, they're looking, they're ready to believe. They just need to be faced with the truth.
Right. And then he tells his disciples, the one who reaps receives pay and gathers fruit for eternal life. This is going to be important for them because he's going to be sending them out to do reaping.
Yep.
And then kind of a cool thing, the reaper and sower will celebrate together in heaven, which is kind of cool. So many Samaritans came. They believed in Jesus. They welcomed him. They said to the original woman, you know, we heard for ourselves, and now we know that this one really is the Savior of the world. So like you were saying, got their own conversation.
Yep.
So 2 days, he stayed for 2 days extra. Then he departed to Galilee. And when he got, you know, back in the homeland, he was welcome because they heard of all the things that Jesus did while in Jerusalem.
Yep.
Right. And these would be, again, the miraculous signs that he had done.
So the men were there, right? The men had to go to Jerusalem, but the women and the children everywhere
weren't.
Right. Right.
Right.
So he gets up there. And remember, because he's been in Samaria for 2 days, everybody else
they're already
back home. So, you know, where have you been? Well, I had a stop I needed to make, right? And so they're like, oh, yeah, we've been telling everybody what you were doing and, you know.
Yeah, cool. So in Capernaum, there was a royal official whose son was sick, and he begged Jesus to save him. And Jesus told him to go home and your son will live. So he immediately started home. Meanwhile, there were some of his servants that had left and came. So they kind of met in the middle someplace.
Yeah.
And the deal was the servant said, your son, they're getting better. And then they figured out when the son started getting better. And it was the same time when Jesus said his miracle.
Yeah. Now it's worth noting in verse 54, Jesus did this as his second miraculous sign when he returned from Judea to Galilee. Like, well, if this is his second miracle, what about all the ones down in Jerusalem?
Right.
It doesn't say this was his second miracle. It was the second one in Galilee. Right.
So the first one being, again, the wedding
with the wine. So he did the wedding with the wine, and now he's done this one. He's done lots of others, but not back in this area.
That's a good point.
Yeah, not back in this area. So, wow.
Yeah, that takes us to the end.
That's a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Again.
It is. Yeah.
These things are packed.
These are hard to do because it's what do you leave out?
Yeah.
And if whatever you leave out is important. So it's like,
Yeah. That's why we always say, just because we didn't say it doesn't mean we don't want to hear from you. There are questions, there are comments, there are things that you see that you're like, why did you guys leave that out? Send them in. We love to hear those things. We love to hear what you're seeing. We try, especially in narrative passages, we try to bring contextual things to it that help us understand what's going on. But we assume you're reading, right? So you can read. We don't have to tell you everything. Sometimes we do, and sometimes we don't. So make sure you fill us in as well as you're going through this. Next time, man, there's some really, really great chapters coming up. Next time, chapter 5 is one of my favorites in the Gospel of John. And so we'll get there. We'll pick up here next time.
Bye.